Radio. And we are very happy to have our second and final guest for the program. We have Graham Matthews on, who has actually previously been a guest on our program. Graham Matthews is the disability spokesperson for Socialist Alliance, and we thought we'd have him on our program today to have a bit, I guess, of a discussion about the federal election and issue and disability kind of issues, like basically have a bit of a discussion on some of the, like, what has been some of the recurring issues for disability in terms of this election, and also what have been the some of the positions of some of the major parties contesting this election. So good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Jacob. How are you going?
I am good. I read your kind of great article in Green Left, basically, I guess, kind of responding to one of the kind of earlier kind of comments that Scott kind of Morrison kind of made, that it was a blessing that he didn't have a child with disability. And I guess I want to sort of hear, you know, some of your kind of comment to start off, I guess, this discussion, some of your comments on that, and I guess what that actually kind of reflects about some of the positions on disability that some of the major parties like the Liberal Party are taking into this election.
Sure. Firstly, I think I'm certain that many people with disability, or indeed people who have a disabled member of their family, particularly a child, would have felt quite unimpressed, to say the least, with Scott Morrison's comment, as though anybody has a choice of how they're born, or indeed, in most cases, anybody has a choice whether or not to contract disability in later life, whether it's through accident or indeed through illness and so forth. So I think people were universally quite shocked at the flippant way that Scott Morrison effectively put down persons with disability. And certainly I think the woman who asked Scott Morrison that question at that first debate on the Central Coast was exceedingly unimpressed with his response, particularly with the serious issues that she's been dealing with through NDIS, just to get reasonable care for her autistic son.
Yeah, and I guess what are some of your comments, I guess, on some of the policy that both the Coalition and even the Labor Party are kind of bringing in? Because there's clearly, I guess, this comment kind of reflected, I guess, a bit of a debate amongst these kind of major parties about where the NDIS should be going, and I guess how the funding should be spent and what reforms should be implemented. I guess want to kind of hear some of your comments on some of those debates that have been happening amongst at least the major parties.
Sure. Look, I think the first thing to say is that from Socialist Alliance's point of view, we defend NDIS, and we certainly defend the funding for NDIS and the demand-driven system, in the sense that support for people with disability is not in some way capped or arbitrarily, limited by a budget as such, that it should be based on a person's need. So certainly Socialist Alliance defends that aspect of NDIS. What the Liberal government has said is that, and it's a fairly sort of flippant comment, but that NDIS will always be fully funded, whatever that means. Now, it's a fact that funding for NDIS within the budget has grown, particularly over the last few years. In the years not long after NDIS was brought into being, if we go back to 2019, the government used shortfalls or rather surpluses in funding NDIS to actually pad out its budget deficit. And in fact, when the Liberal government claimed to be have a balanced budget, I think it was perhaps 2019, the only reason they were able to do that was by hiving off money that was unspent in participants' plans within NDIS, and I think to the tune of some $1 billion was actually ripped from NDIS to pad out the Liberal government's balance sheet. Now, that being said, what does fully funded mean from the point of the Liberal Party? Well, they're not telling us in detail. They are saying that they acknowledge that costs will continue to rise. They're also, but then at the same time, we understand, and I think many people who, many participants with NDIS plan will recognise that the agency that runs NDIS, the National Disability Insurance Agency, has a systematic and quite ruthless campaign to drive down the costs of NDIS by arbitrarily cutting participants' plans. And we saw that from the question that was asked to Scott Morrison up at in the first debate. Unfortunately, the name of the woman who asked the question has slipped my mind. But in subsequent interviews with the Sydney Morning Herald, she pointed out that her son's plan was so ruthlessly cut that they had to make a determination as to whether they thought it was more important that he learned how to speak. My understanding is that he's on the autism spectrum, or that he was toilet trained. No parent should have to be forced to make that kind of choice for their child with disability. And the same way, no person with disability should be forced to ration the support worker assistance that they receive to decide whether on a certain day they're able to go to medical appointments or in favour of not going to, for instance, social appointments on another day. Nobody should be forced to make that decision. And this is the situation which NDIS is forcing participants to face at the moment. The result of that is a massive increase in the number of people who are seeking reviews of their plans, and many of those ending up in the Administrative Appeals Tribunal with extremely long waits to get that dealt with no guarantee of success, where NDIS is spending millions of dollars on lawyers. Now, what we have from Labor is certainly clearer, and Labor certainly acknowledged that the scheme was founded by them. It's not a perfect scheme. It's not a scheme that that socialists support in its wholeness, particularly the privatisation agenda and the cost-cutting agenda, which is inherent in the very nature of NDIS. We don't support that. However, we do support the choice and control which the NDIS system has given to many participants, and we seek to defend that. We also, I think, welcome the fact that the Labor Party has promised to review the whole system of NDIS, particularly the review process. But I think nobody who's lived through Labor governments in the past should be anything but sceptical as to what the final result of Labor Party policy may be.
Yeah, because I want to go into, I guess, I want to sort of go into a bit of the last question about, you know, the Socialist Alliance's sort of position, and even more broadly, some of the other left kind of progressive positions that have been put forward on the NDIS, even from, say, the Greens. I want to sort of just point out something and see if you kind of comment. I guess in terms of Labor's sort of reforms, Labor, would it be sort of accurate to say that, Labor, are probably promising increased funding of NDIS, but when it comes to this whole question of review, the review system, does that sort of reflect the fact that actually the, because one of the biggest criticisms that Socialist Alliance has of NDIS is that it has a medicalized sort of model, and in a sense, would it be accurate to say the ALP doesn't want to break away from that sort of medicalized model of the NDIS?
I think that's absolutely true. I mean, it was the Labor Party that set up NDIS. It was legislation from the Gillard government in 2013, which established NDIS. There were a number of pilot schemes in Newcastle and elsewhere up until 2016, I think 1st July 2016, when it began to be rolled out more broadly in New South Wales in the first instance. and other states following that. But I just want to pick you up on one thing. I don't believe that the Labor Party has promised to increase funding for NDIS. What they have said is that they will cut the waste. So they, in fact, they want to cut spending on NDIS, at least on things such as NDIS's tendency to use consultants, particularly lawyers, and certainly from bitter personal experience, NDIS engaged some of the most ruthless, neoliberal law firms to defend their position at the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, the AAT. So what the Labor Party has said is that they will review some of those decisions and try to cut back. They've also said that they will increase staffing to NDIS. They haven't specified exactly how many staff they will increase that to, but certainly the current Liberal government has a staffing cap for NDIS, and so, which doesn't mean that they're not they don't have people who will cut plans and so forth. But many of these are consultants or indeed otherwise non-public service employees, many of whom are on exceedingly large contracts. So there's a great deal of waste there. So Labor has said that they will cut the waste from and try to sort of stop rorting, but they haven't necessarily agreed to increase funding. But it's true, and the ALP does defend the medicalised model of NDIS, which is very much, and I think particularly for those with a psychosocial disability, is an invidious position to put somebody in. With myself, my disability is primarily physical, so it's rather obvious to tell that I don't have feet and I don't have fingers, for instance. You don't need to be a doctor to be able to declare that, albeit that I had to have reports from specialists to actually declare that before I could be admitted as a participant to the NDIS, but there's no argument about it. Whereas whether somebody who has a psychosocial disability is admitted to NDIS is often the case of rigorous debate and discussion, forcing them to go through numerous reviews. The AAT engage increasing numbers of experts at their own cost, and in many cases NDIS will reject that that application. So Socialist Alliance is completely against that and believes that NDIS should be, support from NDIS should be based on self-diagnosis in that sense.
All right. Well, unfortunately, Graham, we're kind of running a bit short on time, but I sort of leave you,
sure.
I'll leave you one to make the final kind of comment in terms of, I guess the kind of in as short of span you can, because we finish our program at 8:30. What is the kind of what is the kind of Socialist Alliance sort of position on what and where NDIS should be? And we can make that the concluding sort of comment.
Sure. Look, I want to, before I get into that just very quickly, I just want to say that people with disability and their supporters, family members, are offered an extremely stark choice at this election. The return of a Liberal government, the writing is on the wall that should the coalition be returned, they will undoubtedly destroy NDIS. There will probably be a system called NDIS, but it will be such a hollowed-out shell that it will be unrecognisable from that which exists at the moment. They will drive down costs and drive down the numbers make it an exceedingly unlivable system. From a Socialist Alliance point of view, we defend the gains of NDIS. We would like to see it become far more of a community-based model, rather than a model where individual providers can overnight almost become millionaires at the public purse. We feel that the provision of NDIS services should be community-based and accountable to the community. We also feel that the whole structure of NDIS should be revised, and that people with disability themselves should actually run the system. I do point out that recently NDIS has been called to account for the fact that it actively discriminates against many of its employees who are people with disability. We need to turn that around completely. We need to turn around this this insurance-based model, which is run by ruthless insurance clerks, and it needs to be a far more compassionate and holistic system. It needs to be based very much on a national health service model of free provision of treatment, but one which is firmly grounded in the community sector.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Graham, for being on our program. I think it has been a very important kind of discussion, especially coming into the federal election on May 21st.